I'd like to call this meeting of the Board of Education together to order at 6 p.m. Is there anyone that wishes to address the board about any item that we'll be discussing about in closed session? In closed session, we'll be discussing the expulsion of three students and amendment to superintendent's contract. Seeing none, we're going to closed session. Okay, we'll call this meeting of the Board of Education back. We return from closed session where we discuss expulsion of three students as well as amendment to superintendent's contract. We're at the regular session portion of our meeting. We'll start with an invocation. Is there anyone here who would wishes to offer an invocation? Okay. I will go ahead and offer one then. Please rise. And then Jessica Shoemaker will lead us in the flag salute. Our kind of gracious Father, we're grateful that we can gather here as the West Virginia Unified School District. We're grateful for our teachers and for those that work so hard to help the children of this district, and especially for their parents. And Father, we ask a blessing on them and on this meeting that it would be a productive one in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Please join me in the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Here.
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 Thank you. We're all present. Item number five, report of action taken in closed session. It was moved by, got the wrong initials down. Who moved it?
Was it you that moved
me.
It?
Okay.
I did.
I put down Lily's initials, so I know that's not right. I know you meant it. Seconded by Cami Polis and approved to expel pupil number 175667 for possession of controlled substance, 197124 student for possession of a controlled substance, and student 184324 for sexually harassing other students. The vote was 5-0. We have presentations. First, Title I Achieving School Awards.
Okay. Mr. Spence, would you like to come up to the podium? Once again, we're going to have to reserve seats for these schools. They just seem to keep getting awards, and we're so proud of them and their staff. I would like to call forward Merced Elementary, Orangewood Elementary, and San Jose Edison Academy. Please come forward. They are receiving the Title I Achieving School Award. Congratulations. Any comments? No? Okay,
on
thank you.
Well, I'd like to. Yeah, I wanted to thank you for your leadership and for making this happen. It's all good for kids. We appreciate your efforts and we're glad that they're able to be recognized.
Thank you.
So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ladies, will you come and take a picture? A picture real quick. And staff members, if you want to join in on the picture, we'd love to have you. Come on over.
Yeah.
Come forward.
Well, take one like this and then the rest of the staff. Yeah.
You can stand behind him. We have shy staff.
Okay. Staffs from the three schools.
Come on over. Come on over.
If you're here.
Yeah. Good. Excellent.
Thank you. Thank you. Next, we have the professional development plan for West Cove Elementary School.
Okay, Dr. Elizabeth Quinn.
Good evening. Good evening, Superintendent.
Good evening.
Mike Spence, Board President, members of the board and the cabinet. I really want to thank you for the opportunity to share out about West Cove School. Before I begin my presentation, I want to recognize the West Coast staff who attended this evening. It's hard to come at this time of day, I know, but I really appreciate them coming. I just want to say that, you know, West Cove is a really special school. I know that we haven't achieved as much as the other schools, but we're headed that way. I found that the West Cove teachers love students, and they're dedicated to meeting their needs, and I'm proud to be working with them. And I want to thank you for being here tonight. You know, West Cove's vision really is working together to help every child become ready for the 21st century and to meet their highest potential and to become productive, responsible citizens. Because we don't know what your child's going to be doing in the 21st century. All we can do is prepare them with the skills that we think they're going to need, but we don't even know what jobs they're going to have because they probably haven't been invented yet. So I love what Daniel has put on the website about 21st century skills, because I think that's such an important part of and a piece that, as principals, we really need to consider closely. So I really think that's our vision at West Cove, is to really think about that. And my next slide is our API, which I've got to say that, you know, even though we gained 15 points, you know, I've got to say as a staff, we were very disappointed in only gaining 15 points. We worked very hard, and we thought for sure that we would gain 30, so it was not a time of celebration at our school. But we do acknowledge that we were at least headed in the right direction. But we realized that we had to change some things, and we had to refine some things, and we had to look closer at what we were doing, and we needed to work smarter, not harder, and really start using our data. And I want to thank the Educational Services Office for helping us do that. If we look at our next slide, it shows our English language arts over the last 4 years. Again, the growth has not been a consistent trend, although we made gains in the 2008-2009 school year. Our significant subgroups are our socially disadvantaged students and the Hispanic group. Although all the subgroups met their API, the school and the Hispanic subgroup did not meet their AYP, which is the federal guidelines. The Hispanic subgroup missed the 46% target by 2.6. We were able to safe harbor, so we did go ahead and meet that subgroup by safe harbor by our API coming up. The next slide shows our math AYP. The slide shows our percent of students who are proficient and above in math over the last 4 years. Again, there was a big decline in the 2007-2008 year, but last year we began to regain some of what we had lost. We met our goal for the 2008-2009 school year, and we're on track to meet the 58% goal in math this year. We're really working hard towards that. And my next slide is the school-wide goals. So what are we going to do to bring up our API by 49 points? Well, here's what we're going to do. We're really going to use assessment to inform our instruction, and we've already started to do that. In fact, I'm really proud of our fifth grade team because on our last benchmarks, which I really want to thank the Instructional Service Office for getting those benchmarks in line with the California Standards Test. They are our third grade staff had the highest scores on both the ELA and the math for that benchmark. So that's something that we're really proud of. And I happen to have two of those third grade teachers here. So give them a round of applause. They worked really hard. And they did the things that are on this school-wide goal. They're really engaging students in their learning. As I walked through classes at West Cove last year and this year, I saw students who were not engaged. I saw students who had tuned out. I saw students who were just kind of sitting there waiting for 6 hours to be over. So that's something that we needed to address, and we needed to address it quickly. So we started working on cooperative learning. We started working on pair share. We started working on a math problem of the day, which is part of the math program. We started having kids talk, and that was a new thing for West Cove. Students had been passive learners. And so I'd say that our third grade team probably has excelled at really having students engaged in learning. If you went into their classrooms, you would see students talking, you would see students doing projects, you would see students doing different kinds of projects and research projects. And so that's pretty exciting to see the change there. That's also happening in our sixth grade team. So it's happening in threads. There's threads of excellence throughout our school, but we still have work to do. Another thing that needs to happen is that there needs to be a high level of academic rigor. As I told the teachers, unless you teach higher than the basic level, the students are never going to be proficient. So you always need to shoot for the high end, even as you differentiate instruction. I think that if you teach all students like they're GATE students, they become GATE students. And so that's what I'm expecting from my staff. I think that there can never be too much teacher collaboration and articulation between grade levels. There never seems to be enough time. I wish I had all the money in the world and I could buy an hour a week for the teachers to meet together, because I think if that is time is used in a valuable manner and it's focused and it's deliberate, that I think those students benefit and so do the teachers. This third grade staff that's doing so well meets probably for 2 to 3 hours every week, and I'm sure beyond that time as well. And that's the kind of dedication and work it takes to bring a school like West Cove up to where it should be, where we'll be standing up there being a Title I distinguished school. It also takes effective implementation of the new program. So I really want to commend also the Educational Services Department for providing the math training. This was a perfect time to do it, because I believe if you had introduced the technology piece at the beginning of the year, you would have overwhelmed the teachers. But I have gotten nothing but positive reports back from the teachers saying that this was the perfect time for them to learn the instruction, the technology piece. In fact, as I left, I found three teachers' lights on who had just gone to the in-service today, and that was at 6:20. And I know that they were still playing with the technology. So I'm really proud to say that every classroom in West Cove has a projector, and most classrooms have a document camera, which is a camera that you can just put a piece of paper underneath and it projects that. So we're coming into the 21st century, and our teachers are really embracing it. In fact, I have to tell a funny story. My sixth grade teacher today, she was being watched by her mentor teacher. She's a second year teacher, and she has a smart board in her classroom. And yesterday she told me, you know, my bulb is kind of acting a little funny. And the smart bulb went out this morning. She goes, I don't have any idea how to teach, she goes, without my smart board and my document camera. She goes, I'm so used to teaching with technology. She goes, do I need one of those things where you put, like, plastic things under it or something? she didn't even know what it was called. So once they get used to technology, you know, I don't think they're ever going to let it go. Also, Jim Hollingsworth was a wonderful source of information for us. He taught me something that I didn't know, and maybe you don't know either. He said for some students to put things back into their long-term memory, it takes 22 to 26 times of hearing it. And I thought, maybe that's why I don't remember everything. but wow. that requires pair share, requires the teacher to talk about the objective. It requires the kids, again, to pair share, to talk about it, to write about it. You know, it's that 22 to 26 times. And you can't do it all the time, but you can do it some of the time. And he says that's what it takes. So I thought that was pretty interesting. And I think increasing the effectiveness of instruction for all students. As we learn, as a staff, more high-yield strategies, I especially want to thank Jim Mandela for taking the time and giving his time to come to West Cove and giving me his expert feedback. And he's also been responsible for helping the principals share. Like, for example, today, Teresa Marquez came out to see my third grade because she wanted to see what they were doing because they had the highest scores. And I'm going to go to have my fifth grade teachers see her fifth grade teachers because they had the highest scores. So he's been responsible for us sharing. And I also want to talk just a little bit about TeachScape. TeachScape, I think, is a fabulous tool. Thank you for those little computers, and thank you for buying that for us. I think that's going to be a fabulous thing. All of the teachers in my school have taken TeachScape and gone through the classrooms and have actually rated every classroom, and we found some interesting data. The sixth grade team was the hardest on all the other teams. And so tomorrow for PD, what we're going to do is ask them to say, what can we do to realize short-term change? What's the action item? Who's responsible? And by when? And what is the expected outcome? And then the next question will be, what can we do to realize longer-term change? And so I think that kind of concludes what we're doing at West Cove. And really, as we talk about our professional development plan, this kind of goes back through what I talked about, really, is we're analyzing data effectively. We're really looking at the benchmarks. We're looking at daily tests. We're looking at the CEL test, which is a new test for us. We're looking at the STAR test, right? The STAR test, which is a great test. We're creating action plans based on the data. We're using our high-yield strategies. And we're really reflecting on what's working and what's not. And one more thing I'm excited about is lesson studies. I think lesson studies are really a great tool. For those of you that don't know what they are, it's a group of teachers getting together. And they plan a lesson, and what they do is they teach the lesson, and then they critique it. And Susan has been the coach that helps them ask the hard questions. And so that adds to their toolbox. By the time they finish the lesson, they should have a perfect lesson, and it helps them become more of a team. So I want to thank you for listening to my presentation, and I'll be glad to take any questions.
Okay.
Thank you so much for your presentation. And I'll be making my way to your school very soon.
I would love to show you my school. Yeah.
I had some, if you can review the list for me about your evaluation tools.
Sure.
You said you were starting to list them, and I didn't catch all of them. You said STAR testing, district benchmarks. What other tools are you using to evaluate students' progress and success?
We're using benchmarks. We're using everyday tests. I'm also looking at evidence of student work in the classrooms. For example, one of the things I require teachers to do is to do two writings every month, and they have to have exemplars up, which shows what a 4, 3, 2, and 1 are. So that's another way we evaluate, and the teachers evaluate the student writing together. So they look at that. Another way we evaluate how well the students are doing is by we look at how many times that they've done the orchard tests. We look at the new
STAR test that they're taking, and we look at the new CSI test that they're taking.
Thank you. That sounds very comprehensive. I appreciate that. Now, what is your data analysis showing you at this point? We're at a mid-year point now in the year.
In the mid-year point of the year, it's showing us that our third grade is doing fantastic. It's showing us that our sixth grade is doing okay. Our second grade is doing fairly well. Our fourth grade is doing okay. My fifth grade, I'm worried about.
Made adjustments?
Yes, we're making adjustments now. Susan and I are working with both those teachers.
And then in terms of your advanced students, what are you providing them to keep them at that advanced level?
Well, for example, I have a teacher who's teaching a 5-6 gate combination. And so what they did is they just took a stand about whether they should have 2 hours more of school a day or Saturday school. And what they had to do was a PowerPoint presentation. And they had to give the PowerPoint presentation dressed up in a suit and tie or a dress and present it as if they were a professional. And they were fantastic. And then Tandy asked me today, what was the conclusion of that? And they decided they wanted 2 more hours of school a day.
Wow. Okay. Thank you. Another compliment. I pass your school on a very regular basis, and I've seen lots of improvements on the campus well as traffic flow. So I wanted to compliment you on that as well.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Any other questions?
Yep.
I'd be glad to take.
Cammie?
You're saying you're at the mid-year point and you've evaluated.
Yes.
Are you on track for the 30 points that you were hoping to get? Do you see that happening?
I'm hoping the more than 30. Okay. Yeah, I'm hoping more than 30 because what we're doing, Cammie, besides all the things I talked about, is we're doing a lot of test prep because we know the test prep, knowing how to take the test is 25% of it, and 25% of it is knowing how to eliminate the answers. And the other 50% is then they have the chance of, you know, picking the right or the wrong answer. And hopefully they pick the right one.
Well, when you were saying they were performing okay for several of them, I didn't know if that meant that they were on track where you wanted them to be, mm-hmm. or if...
No, they're not on track where I want them to be honest with you. No. So we're working on that.
Okay.
Yeah, we're working on that.
You said that students had not been engaged in the past. They'd actually been passive learners.
Yes.
And it's easy to be on fire and try to change that, but it's very easy to fall back into your old ways. For mm-hmm. both students and teachers, it's human.
Yes.
It's
human nature.
You know, whatever we feel comfortable with, and if you're used to being a passive learner. So how are you... going back and touching on that on a regular basis to make sure that the students continue to be active and engaged?
Well, I think one of the most powerful tools we have right now, and it's a non-evaluative tool, and it's something that teachers are going around to other teachers' classrooms and observing. And if you were to look at this instrument, it talks about whether or not the students are engaged. It asks that very question.
And how often do you do the walkthroughs with this year?
We just finished having every teacher do a walkthrough, and we plan another one next month.
So you project doing it on a monthly basis then?
Yes, and I will be doing them myself as well.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
How are you, you've talked about the mm-hmm. test prep for the students.
Yes.
And is there a component that actually walks the parents through that, and so they're able to support their students through this process also?
I have not. We've had 2 parent workshops, and we've talked about strategies for that, but I haven't actually shown them the test prep. But that's a great idea. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Eileen has another question.
I apologize. I neglected to ask about parent involvement and access to computers after school, and how if you in fact offer that.
We don't offer that, but that would be a great idea. Parent involvement, we've had a couple workshops. Parent involvement is something that we're still working on at West Cove. We've had maybe 10 parents come to each parent workshop we've had during the day. We're going to try some parent workshops at night We seem to have a lot more parent volunteers this year, which is great.
That's good.
Last year we didn't have any parent volunteers, and our PTA is building up, which is exciting too.
Okay.
Yeah. I had a question and then a comment. You probably know that over 30 years ago and 250 pounds ago, I was a student there at West Cove.
I didn't know that.
So
hey.
I had some great teachers. You know, Mrs. Parker, Judy Thomas, you know, Mrs. Sneed had some great teachers there. But there was one year where I had a very bad teacher that the district ended up. I didn't realize, you know, back then I was horrified. My dad filed a complaint against the teacher. Uh-huh. I didn't realize that how much that actually takes for a teacher in a district to file a complaint against another teacher, but that's how bad he was.
Wow.
He needed to go. He did need to go. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I'm a little concerned about when I hear about passive learners and people that aren't engaged. You know, I start wondering about the evaluation process. I know we've had some turnover in staff there, which is probably a good thing. So I'm just trying to, how are you using these? I mean, when you look at the passive learner, maybe that's a culture that's developed at West Cove. When you look at our test scores, it's always been a burden for me when I look at West Cove and see the struggle,
I understand.
You know, over years. And I know some of that's the principal position, too, you know, bunches of principals over bunches of years.
Right.
You know, what's the key to turning that around as far as you said parental involvement's up, and that's always good.
Yeah, I think
you know, but with the staff.
I think the key to turning that around are three words that Tandy keeps saying she hears from me all the time, is that kids need to share, discuss, and analyze what they've learned. And if they can do that, then they've learned it. And that will, however you do that, whether you do that in having kids stand up in a group and talk about it, whether you have the kids write about it, or whether you have the kids stand up individually and talk about how they have learned. I think if kids can share and discuss and analyze what they've learned, that takes away the passivity of it.
I wanted to ask about your comments about differentiated instruction.
Yes.
You know, because we hear a lot about that, and of course everybody's trained it and everybody's doing that.
Yeah.
But you also mentioned, you know, treating everyone as a GATE student.
Yes.
You know, and so how do you find that balance between what kids are prepared to do and what they're able to achieve? Because sometimes with different instruction, just so you know where I'm coming from, sometimes I'm afraid, you know, that sometimes that's used as an excuse not to challenge somebody. You know, that someone gets typecast as this kind of student, so that's the kind of work I'm going to give them. You know, how do you go about training your staff to challenge, you know, students to reach their potential rather than just kind of, you know.
Because I ask my staff to always look at the Bloom's taxonomy and always go for the synthesis and analysis level. Even with your lower functioning cognitive students, if you can help them get to that level, even if it's on a basic level, I think all students can get to that. They can discuss two things. They can analyze two things. And of course, when you're differentiating instruction, you're talking about, you know, you're to differentiate for your EL students, for your cognitively not as sharp students, for your middle students, and for your very gifted students. And what you do is you take the same lesson and you have different expectations. But that doesn't mean that your middle student couldn't exceed the expectations of your gifted student. I think if expectations are very clear and students are held accountable for their work, that it's amazing what students can do.
Well, yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I think sometimes we don't challenge kids enough.
Agree
and I think
with
that's
you totally.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
we
good.
Don't expect enough from students.
Mm-hmm.
I think students can pretty much do what you expect
okay.
of them.
And how many times is it you have to hear something before you get it?
22 to 26.
You think I'd be taking out the trash by now on my own? You think I wouldn't have to?
When I heard that, I thought
you wouldn't think I'd have to be reminded anymore. I think I'd be done. I think I would have gotten that by now. But okay.
And then also, he said that you should actually check for understanding every 2 minutes.
Oh wow!
Isn't that amazing?
Wow!
I knew maybe every 10 minutes, but not every 2 minutes. So that was two new learnings for me.
Well, I'm going to annoy my kids then tomorrow.
Yeah, you're
every 2 minutes, going, "What was that? What was
exactly,
that? I'm going to do that.
Exactly.
See how that works. See how that works."
Yeah. Any other questions?
Any other questions? Well, thank you very much. Thank you for your efforts.
Thank you for letting
thank
me
you.
Present. I appreciate it.
I have nothing else to report. Any other board education reports?
Yeah, I went to the GATE competition, and that was excellent. Congratulations to all the middle school schools. I was very pleased by all the presentations. Thank you.
Student report?
I had something, Mike.
Oh, okay. Well, I'd look better. Cammie?
The back in November, the Coronado was such a help in with the transition conference that the Parents Place puts on every year. And Michael and Tonovich had sent something for Coronado. And it says, with sincere congratulations and best wishes, the Board of Supervisors of the County of Los Angeles does hereby join in your celebration. So I wanted to make sure that they were publicly recognized for all the work they put forth. They really make our district look great. And they went beyond the call of duty. And I just wanted to make sure everybody saw that and that if Lily could pass this on and let somebody recognize at the board meeting, I'd appreciate it.
Thank you. Student representative report?
Well, right now at West Covina High School, it is Spirit Week. Our students just came back from a three-day weekend, and we are celebrating the accomplishments this Friday at a rally of our fall, winter, and we are welcoming the spring sports. So it's a big rally on Friday. And right now, the sophomores are definitely preparing for the school-wide KCA exam next month. So that's happening academically. And Sadie's tickets are on sale. The day of Sadie's is March 13th. And a six-week grading period ends this Friday. So we are two-thirds from the end of the year.
Wow. Okay. But who's counting? Okay. We've had a request for a break, so we'll go ahead and take a five-minute break right now. Thank you. We'll go ahead and reconvene from our break. We're on items from the floor, item number eight. We had one blue card that multiplied to two during the break. So we'll start in order with Aaron Reed. Sure. Just go ahead and pass it, and we'll pass it down.
I'm a teacher. I was ready to have
Yeah.
Just the one thing? Or is there a whole bunch of stuff?
Just one. And one message which we'll put on.
Okay, thank you. This is an open letter from the staff of West Covina High School to Dr. Castillo regarding comments at the February 9th school board meeting. We, the undersigned teachers of West Covina High School, were deeply offended by your disparaging remarks directed toward our campus and staff at the February 9th school board meeting. You implied that your remarks were based on direct observation of classrooms on our campus. We have seen you at graduation, back to school night, open house, and one staff meeting. Only a handful of teachers on this campus have ever seen you visit a classroom, and then only briefly. You also claim that teachers on this campus use terms like those kids and that side of the tracks. If you spent more time on our campus, you would know that this is not the common language of Bulldog Country and that we prize the diversity of our students above all. We welcome you to develop a more accurate perception of our school culture by spending time on our campus and in our classrooms, where you will see quality, standards, and data-driven instruction, active and engaged students, and a supportive, positive atmosphere for all students. We believe this would allow you to recognize that West Covina High School truly is one of the finest schools in the San Gabriel Valley. I have one second thing that I would like to read, and this is something that I wrote, and I just would like to share it with you. Parents, school board administrators, superintendents, and fellow teachers, I came here tonight to represent my colleagues. However, now I would like to read you something that comes from my heart. As educators, we must be constantly aware of our words and our actions, both inside and outside of the classroom. Because we work in education, we are often held to a higher standard of professionalism, and there is very little room for error. For one wrong word said in the wrong tone could be life-changing for a student, or it could roll off their back. You just never know. We say 100 positive comments in any given teaching day, but it's that one slip, that one thing said in a moment of frustration that will be remembered forever. I had a high school teacher, English teacher, tell me I wasn't smart enough to become a teacher. When I graduated with my BA in English literature, I sent her a copy of my diploma. And it did feel good, but you know what? She probably didn't remember who I was, but I sure remember her. As educators, it's our job to build people up and to make them want to be better than they were yesterday, not to tear them down. If a student is failing my class, I don't yell at them for getting something wrong. I find the one thing that they are doing well, and I give them praise and encouragement because we can do this. I make my students feel as if there is no other place in the world that I want to be. They're not alone. We are in this together. And that's what I want everyone sitting in this room to think about. What is it we want to accomplish by working here? Why do we spend time and energy tearing one another apart? Why aren't we building each other up? All of us should be remembered for who we inspired, not who we belittled. As a district, we are as strong as our weakest link. And it's our job to make sure every school, every teacher, every administrator, every personnel staff member, and every student believes in themselves because we believe in them. We are a small district, and we need to come together to make our weak links strong. Because we are in this thing together, all of us, and there's no turning back. And you know what? There is no place I would rather be but right here in West Covina Unified School District.
Thank you. Mrs. Elizarez. Mrs. Elizarez.
Good evening, members of the school board. My name is Donatio Lizarraraz. Yeah, I know, it's difficult. And I'm speaking on behalf of the West Covina High School Theater Department. I'm addressing the many accomplishments that we have done over the last year. In April of 2009, we competed in the Cal State Long Beach Theater Competition, and one of our scenes took first in the classical comedic category. From there, that scene auditioned to win a scholarship and the opportunity to perform for the governor and the Senate in the California Youth and Theater Day Festival in Sacramento in March of 2010. And we won. That scene is one of the six throughout all of California that represent the International Thespian Society at a state level. In October, another scene qualified to go, and now there's a total of 8 students who will be going in a couple of weeks. Over the last few weeks, we've managed to raise roughly a little over $2,000 to pay for our airfare, hotels, and other expenditures. Thanks to the support of our wonderful staff, students, and not to mention the hard work of the 8 students and their efforts to raise that money, our dreams are coming true, and we are all able to go to the California Youth and Theater Day Festival in a couple of weeks and perform for the governor and the Senate. I want to congratulate Eileen Goodwin, Jennifer Hall, Annabelle Lee, Rachel Brady, Viviana Barrera, Noemi Camacho, Ashley Barnes, and myself, and not to mention our wonderful and amazing director, Kimberly Battersby, and all their efforts for raising this money. I also wanted to thank every member of West Covina High School who came out last Friday at our benefit concert and supported us by being there and buying their tickets, and the kind donations from many of the staff members who truly support our West Covina High School students. I want to thank us all, and I just want to let you guys know about this event. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Congratulations. Okay, we're on the organizational part. Does someone wish to take an item off consent?
Yes, the minutes.
So item number 2, that would be. Does anyone wish to add an item? Okay, is there a motion?
I'll move as amended.
Okay, is there a second?
I'll second it.
Second by Mrs. Polis. Moved by Mrs. Polo, second by Mrs. Mianez, to approve the agenda and consent items with the deletion of item number 2. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, it's approved 5-0. Item number 2.
This is the end time. I was noticing on the minutes it was listed as 10:17. We actually ended more around 10:45. So I just wanted to have it reflect okay. that.
Is that a motion with the correction?
That is a motion with the correction. I will make that motion.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
It's been moved and seconded. And all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, it's approved 5-0. That was probably my fault because Monica probably left, and then I didn't, when we were done with our closed session, I didn't communicate that. So I'll try to do that tonight. Item number 3. There were only 3 nominees for 3 spots. So how would the board like to do this?
Would it be appropriate to just vote for 2? Is, I mean, we could do that, couldn't we?
We could vote for none of them.
But I'll move to vote for all 3.
Okay, it's been moved, and is there a second?
I'll second it.
To vote for the 3 candidates that have been nominated to serve on the CSB Delegate Assembly for Subregion 23C. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, that's approved 5-0. Our next Board of Education meeting is on March 9th. We will be going into closed session, and we may or may not have something to report out, and I'll try to get you that time, Monica. With that, we are adjourned at 7:55. 7:50.